Good morning. Last time I preached here, it was the first time I had ever preached. And this is the first time I've ever preached for the second time. So, thank you for moving my ministry so forward. For those of you who weren't here, Memorial Day weekend, my name is Stephen Watson. I'm a professor at Samford University in the art department, and I'm discerning a call to the ministry. I'm a student at Beeson there at Samford, pursuing an MDiv. I have a wife and two kids, and we're foster parents as well, and I'm delighted to be here. Thank you for having me back. Glad to be here. Is it loud enough? Are we okay? All good? Okay. Will you turn with me to Exodus 32? Verse 1. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, "Up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." So Aaron said to them, "Take off the rings of gold that are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron, and he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord." And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, for your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. They have made for themselves a golden calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" And the Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, in order that I may make a great nation of you." But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, "O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'With evil intent did he bring them out, to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth?' Turn from your burning anger and relent from this disaster against your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, 'I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised I will give to your offspring, and they shall inherit it forever.'" And the Lord relented from the disaster that he had spoken of bringing on his people. Then Moses turned and went down from the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, tablets that were written on both sides, on the front and on the back they were written. The tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. When Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, "There's a noise of war in the camp." But he said, "It is not the sound of shouting for victory or the sound of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing that I hear." And as soon as he came near the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, Moses' anger burned hot, and he threw the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. He took the calf that they had made and burned it with fire and ground it to powder and scattered it on the water and made the people of Israel drink it. Let's pray. Father, unless you preach this sermon, I preach it in vain. Unless you open the ears of this people, they all sit here in vain. Father, I stand up here because I believe you have asked me to, and this people sits here because you have called them. Please demonstrate your power to us and your presence, and may we change from being with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Exodus 32 is a rich and powerful chapter, and it is full of preaching possibilities. From the passage I just read, I could preach a sermon this morning on patience and how the people of Israel got into this whole mess because they didn't wait patiently for Moses to come down from the mountain. And maybe I could end the sermon by challenging you to wait patiently for the Lord in whatever circumstances you find yourself. Or I could preach a sermon about leadership from this passage. And we could look at all the ways Aaron fails as a priest and pastor of God's people. And maybe we could learn to become better leaders ourselves, or we could learn how to hold leaders and pastors more accountable in the church. That would be a good sermon. Exodus 32 would also be a good sermon, a good chapter for a sermon on prayer. And we could focus on the ways Moses effectively wrestles and pleads with God on behalf of his people, and perhaps we could all learn how to pray like Moses. Those would all be really good sermons. But I'm not preaching any of those sermons this morning. Instead, I'm stuck on one particular part of the story. One verse in particular captures my attention and imagination more than the other aspects of the story. I stopped the reading for today at verse 20 because that's the verse I'm stuck on. Moses took the calf that they had made and burned it with fire and ground it to powder and scattered it on the water and made the people of Israel drink it. Why did he do that? Why did Moses force the Israelites to drink the golden calf? That's where I'm stuck. So that's the sermon you get today. And I pray and I trust that someone here needs this sermon, this message, more than they need a message on patience or leadership or prayer. So, why did Moses make the people drink their idol? That's our question. One answer is that a sculpture smoothie is a very unsatisfying drink. Verse 1 says, "When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, 'Up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him.'" So at the outset of this chapter, the people are spiritually thirsty. They're craving worship. They are seeking spiritual satisfaction. These same people were physically hungry and thirsty a few chapters ago, but God gave them manna in chapter 16, and he gave them water from a rock in chapter 17. So they're not physically hungry and thirsty at this point, but they are craving something. They want to worship. They want a God. Specifically, they want a God that they can see and touch and keep with them and in front of them at all times. They are desperate and spiritually famished. But what's really troubling here is that Moses and God have not been out of sight for very long. Consider how much time has passed between the Exodus from Egypt and the incident of the golden calf. Moses and the Israelites arrive at Mount Sinai roughly 49 days after the Exodus. 49 days, 7 weeks. Then Moses goes up on the mountain, and he's delayed for 40 days. So in total, from the Exodus to the golden calf, we're only talking about 89-ish days. Less than 100 days. In less than 100 days, these people were liberated from slavery in Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea miraculously on dry land. They received manna from heaven. They defeated enemy armies. They saw and heard the glory of God upon Mount Sinai. Then Moses goes up and is delayed, and the Israelites build a pagan idol and worship a false god. All of that in less than 100 days. They're like whiny children who just had lunch and are asking for a snack. You just ate. You just had something to drink. What do you mean you're starving? What do you mean you're thirsty? It's not been that long. You just saw the plagues of Egypt. You just saw the Red Sea rip apart. You just followed God as a pillar of smoke and fire. You just heard his voice on the mountain. Those things just happened less than 100 days ago. And now you say, I don't know. Maybe a cow led us out of Egypt. I can't really remember. It's been so long. I can't. A cow? God is not a cow. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's not one of them. God just displayed his power back in Egypt by killing a bunch of cows in the 5th plague. You think God is okay with being worshipped as a cow? A cow is a lousy and stupid god. And a ground-up statue is a lousy and stupid drink. Moses forced the people of Israel to drink the golden calf to highlight the absurdity of worshiping an idol. You see, the punishment is intended to be as crazy as the crime. Drinking a statue is not pleasurable or satisfying in any way. It has no benefit. In the same way, worshiping an idol has no benefit. A god of gold is as good as a drink of gold. It's not pleasurable, it's not powerful, it's not satisfying. As the prophet Jeremiah puts it, be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked. Be utterly desolate, declares the Lord, for my people have committed 2 evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Those are 2 evils. The first evil is rejecting that which is satisfying, namely God alone. And the second evil is choosing and preferring that which is unsatisfying over God. It is evil to reject God, but it is doubly evil to pursue by other means that which only God can provide. Rejecting God is evil once, but trading God for anything else is evil twice. And that's what the Israelites have done. They rejected God, the God they had experienced in power for 100 days. And that was evil. But it was doubly evil when they replaced God with a cow. Moses makes the people drink the golden calf so that they may know in their gut that they've made a bad trade. They've traded something true and satisfying for something false and unsatisfying. And now they've tasted just how unsatisfying it is. I said I was troubled by how all of these events transpire within 100 days of the Exodus. I'm also troubled by the fact that the Israelites are tired of waiting on Moses when they are the ones who sent Moses away in the first place. When they first arrived at Mount Sinai, they saw and heard the glory of God descend upon the mountain. God was near to them. Exodus chapter 20 says, "When all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled, and they stood far off and said to Moses, 'You speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us, lest we die.' Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin.' The people stood far off, while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was." The Israelites were terrified by the presence of God on the mountain, and they requested distance from him. They requested a middleman, a mediator. They feared for their lives and sent Moses into the thick darkness to deal with God. And then they waited for Moses to return, but not for very long, as we've already seen. Moses makes the Israelites drink the golden calf so that they may drink the cup of wrath and death that they thought they were escaping by maintaining distance from God. The sculpture smoothie was unsatisfying, and it was poison. I don't know what physical effects the calf concoction had on the people that drank it. Maybe it made them vomit. Maybe it poisoned them. Maybe it killed them. This will not be the only time God forces the Israelites to consume something as a punishment. In Numbers chapter 11, the people are complaining that they don't have any meat to eat. They wanted some good protein. And this was God's response: "Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall not eat just one day, or 2 days, or 5 days, or 10 days, or 20 days, but a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you, because you have rejected the Lord who is among you. Then a wind from the Lord sprang up, and it brought quail from the sea and let them fall beside the camp. And the people rose all that day and all that night and all the next day and gathered the quail. While the meat was between their teeth, before it was consumed, the anger of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord struck down the people with a very great plague. And there they buried the people who had the craving." In Exodus chapter 3, God promised Moses and his people that they would inherit a land flowing with milk and honey, a land of life and goodness and rest. But there is no milk provided by this unholy cow. The milk of the golden calf is the metallic and toxic drink Moses prepared for them. They haven't escaped death. They've chosen it. They've traded for it. They saw the glory of God and said, "No thanks." And what kind of God did they want instead? They wanted one they could design for themselves. They wanted a God they could understand and control. They wanted a quiet and safe God. They wanted a patron for their parties. But that kind of God is poison. That kind of God must be loathed and rejected, or it will kill its worshipers. Romans chapter 1 says, "They became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images, resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore God gave them up in their lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator." God gave them up to dishonorable passions, and God gave them up to a debased mind. Moses serves the people a sickening drink that they may recognize the sickness of their own minds. Well, the story of the golden calf isn't a very happy one. It's not really very funny either. But thankfully, it's a really old story and it's irrelevant, and we don't really have to worry about applying it to our own lives because we don't worship golden cows, so we're good. Except, there's a problem in 1 Corinthians that I think we need to examine. Can you turn to 1 Corinthians 10 with me? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul writes, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, 'The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play.' We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, all these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall." Okay, so the story is for us after all. Paul is saying that this isn't an old and irrelevant story. The golden calf incident took place as an example for us. These things were written down for our instruction. What then will we learn from it today? Well, if you were forced to drink your idols, would you finally understand how unsatisfying and poisonous they were? If every morning you were required to drink a breakfast smoothie that contained a blend of everything you had preferred to God the day before, what would your cup contain? What would your smoothie look like? Would your smoothie be golden? Or would it be black and silver from the shards of your phone or your computer? Would your breakfast smoothie be colorfully sprinkled with those pictures or books that you hide? My smoothie, mine, would be green, filled with the money I had worshipped the day before. I've never worshipped a cow, but I have worshipped cash, because I often think money will provide the same kinds of things that I think the Israelites wanted from the golden cow. I want safety and pleasure and power. But maybe, just maybe, if I was forced to drink my money idol, I would vomit it out and I would finally realize how disgusting it is to love and trust money. And I would learn to loathe my sin. Or maybe my money smoothie would poison me, and I would no longer be stiff-necked, but I would turn and flee to the only healer and savior. However, as Christians, we do not drink the cup of wrath and death that we deserve, because Christ already drank it on our behalf on the cross. Jesus said to the woman of Samaria at the well, Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. May we all today accept his invitation. Let's pray. Father, forgive us. We know that there is never a revival in any of our churches or hearts that is not first preceded by repentance, God, and we loathe our sin. We loathe the things that we have loved over you. Please forgive us. God, we have not worshipped a golden cow, but we have done things far worse. God, thank you for your gift of forgiveness and life and hope. God, we want you. We do not want our idols. In Jesus' name, amen.